Wow, what a privilege it is, you know, to share the Word of God, to share the truth. And you know, when Pilate asked what is truth, in the beginning when I got that scripture, I thought I understood what it was talking about. But as it's unfolded, I've come to understand I am that. I am truth. And I'm going to endeavour to explain why that unfolded to me, how that unfolded to me. It's a little bit wordy, but I picked out the most essential words that convey a building up in our understanding. So, just to go back a little bit, Pilate is simply an illustration of man's knowledge being stuck in this physical plane. That is the point that I was making yesterday. That man is stuck in the knowledge that he has, in the full glass of beliefs and concepts and perceptions. And when we're full and not, we're not able to flow those ideas. Because God is the highest idea of life. Do you understand? God is the highest idea of life. And those ideas come through your heart to your mind. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Let me just build the picture. So, Pilate was stuck. And insight was unknown to him. Even though it was presented to him, it was unknown to him. He had no idea. What are you talking about? He said, basically he said. What he said was, what is truth? But he was meaning, what are you talking about? I have no idea. It is unknown. And that's the most part of this humanity. It's unknown to man. For this cause, Jesus said, I came into the world. That word cause is an action which calls for a response. Jesus came to get a response from man, to give an understanding so that there is a response in it. He calls for a response from you. That's the cause. That is why he declared the nature of the Father, to put it in this world that we would respond. Pilate could not respond because it was unknown to him. But Jesus' purpose was to call for a response. Okay? So, now, Pilate, like all men, was stuck in the physical, and insight was unknown to him. He did not see the value of what was presented when it was presented to him. So let's go. What I want to talk to you about today, to start with, is I asked the question, so what is truth? But I didn't ask it, what are you talking about? So, what is truth? If this insight was presented to Pilate and it was so important and there was no response, what am I going to do to understand and give a response? And that's the question I have to ask myself. I ask myself now all the time, why am I reacting? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? So that I can understand what is there and why the cup is full. So that when insight comes, there's a response. And if our cup is full of beliefs and concepts and perceptions and attitudes and criticisms and judgment, judgment is the worst. As soon as we do that, we don't realise, you know, as soon as I get angry, it's not God that punishes the anger. It's the anger that punishes me. Do Do you see? It's what I'm doing all the time. The judgment is the worst because it's so instantaneous. And behind judgment comes the criticism. As soon as we judge something, we say something about it. And you see, it's the judgment and the criticism that punishes me. It's not something else. It's not that person that is being mean. It's my instant judgment that judges me. If we bulldoze the earth, we destroy the earth. And do you know, in the same moment, we destroy ourselves. It's not God, or it's not the elements. It's us bulldozing. We bulldoze each other. Why do we think we get a reaction? Because as I bulldoze, I'm using the word bulldoze because John's on this plant and he brought a picture home for Noah of this great, huge bulldozer. And Noah said, oh, that cuts down everything. And it's true. That's what bulldozing does. It cuts down everything, you see? And as it cuts down, as we're bulldozing, the bulldozing bulldozes me. So that's enough about bulldozers. He took it to kinder and he did show and tell. And he stood there, I was watching. He stood there, he said, my pa did this. So cute. So we ask the question, what is truth? Truth is a knowing. That's what truth is. Truth is a knowing. It comes from within. It is not something that is outside of ourselves. Let us start there. We know that beliefs, concepts, views, opinions and perceptions. We heard yesterday that all those things are fed as information from outside of you. Views, we form our views according to the belief or the culture that is handed to us as a child. And then we say, this is our heritage. This is what your grandparents did. So this is what we do. We hand on those cultures. And you see, they become a part of the information that we build up. And they are handed to us. And because they are handed to us, there is an escape. Do you see? It's not the reality. It's the view that I have formed of this world because of the beliefs and cultures and feelings. The feelings we have in our heart are the currency that we use as an exchange in our experience. The things you feel are the things. If someone walked in and I was upset with them, I would that reaction would come from my feeling. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the currency that we use. We use money as a currency to exchange for our experiences. So too with our feelings. They are the currency that we use to exchange our experiences. So, like I said to you yesterday, you know, truth is like riding a bike. You get on it. I was scared. I was fearful. I didn't want it. I was comfortable with my old bike. I didn't need a new bike. I was stubborn. I was irritated. I was very irritated. Go away, I'm not doing it. I want my old bike, you know? So, I came to understand something out of that situation with John and the new bike. And the thing that I came to understand was that as I got on the bike, it was an automatic reaction. It came from an experience that I had had when I was a child. I got on a bike, I learned to ride it, and I could do it. And I became quite confident about it. And as I got on this new bike, that experience kicked in. automatically. My hands kept balance. My feet began to pedal, just automatically. And I had a wonderful time because I had the courage to forget the nagging and get on the bike, you know. But what it does is remove the doubt. You see, when a knowing comes, it removes the doubt. And doubt is our most prevalent obstacle in this experience that we're having. Suspend your doubt. When you go into a movie theatre to watch a movie, you know it's not real. You sit there to be entertained. And what you actually do is say to yourself, no, you don't consciously, but you're actually saying to yourself, I know this is not real and I'm going to suspend my belief. I'm going to put my belief over there and just be entertained. That's what I did with the bike. That's what I understood about myself. I'm going to suspend that belief that I can't do it. I'm going to get rid of the doubt, dismiss the doubt, so that that flow, that automatic flow, that's enough about that. So, this is also where we hear. Knowing is where you hear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Knowing is the hearing. Knowing is coming from within you as an automatic thing, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. Knowing is expectation. 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 What do I see? What am I looking at? What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the rod of an almond tree. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a boiling pot. What do you see? Do you know that scripture in Jeremiah? I'll bring it out a bit later. Expectation is knowing. It comes from within. It's having an immediate... You're going to hear a lot about this. It's having an immediate knowledge acquired by intuition without reasoning. It's formed in the mind naturally and unconsciously. Sorry, where's intuition gone? Sorry, won't be long. Lost it. Okay, don't worry. I'll continue on. Our aim is to see clearly. We're coming to a place of knowing. Let's keep on track. We're coming to a place of knowing. What is the knowledge that I have built up through my beliefs and my cultures? And what is knowing? That comes as immediate knowledge. Immediate knowledge, unconsciously, naturally, to the mind. And it is acquired by inspiration. Sorry, it's acquired by intuition. It comes naturally as intuition to your mind. What is your mind? Your mind is a frame. It's a frame that connects together. Whatever the content, it's the content of our mind that keeps us bound to the flesh. Whatever those cultural beliefs, those history, those beliefs that have been handed to us as a child, that is the information that we have built up in our heart and in our mind. It's the content of the mind, and it's what we live out from. Okay, the content of the mind is what connects man to the flesh. What you think about expands. God said, take no thought. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Take no act of the mind, because there is a difference. Let it come as immediate knowledge acquired by intuition formed in the mind naturally. That's what knowing is. It is immediate knowledge coming from within naturally, unconsciously. And it's acquired by intuition. That's the way God speaks to you. And if you know the truth will make you free. We have been acting on an act of the mind, which I also can't find. This is weird. Okay. I just have to go with the flow. Okay. So man lives in knowledge. Man lives in knowledge. In the physical plane, man lives in knowledge. I'm going to explain to you what that knowledge is. Okay. Pilate lived in vanity, which is the unknown. We, as in this physical plane, we live in vanity, which is the unknown. And that knowledge that we have built up in our belief system is the lowest understanding of knowledge is gnosko. Gnosko. Knowledge, which is information to the senses. It's conceived by an act of the mind. We're handed the information. With the mind, it is an act of the mind that we are handed this information so that we can survive. Do you see? It's sense knowledge. It's self-preservation knowledge. It's the lowest knowledge. It's that animal knowledge that man also lives in to preserve himself. And it's an act of the mind, even in the animal. It's an act of the mind. It's acting from without. I take that information, I learn it, and I become something because I learn that, and that provides my needs. That's gnosko knowledge. It's self-survival. Then there's epignosko, and epi means I. So it's a higher understanding that we have. Well, it's what Adam did. I can be like the Most High God. Adam separated himself, walked away from that presence, saying, I can make for myself an image other than the image of God. And this is what man does. He thinks that he has everything he needs to be like God. But that power wasn't with him. You see, he walked away saying, I can be like the Most High God. I can make an image other than the image of God. This is epignosko. This I simulates I. It looks similar. It simulates I, but it pretends. It invents, and it is counterfeit. Don't think that I just plucked these words out of the air. There's a reason behind it. And if anyone wants to ask at any time, I love questions because, you know, in the beginning, I did not know enough about the subject to even know what question to ask. But as I began to understand this word, then comes the questions because I'm now... That understanding gives me enough understanding to know what question to ask. You see, so I don't mind it. Actually, questions to me bring out what I know, and I can hear myself say what I know, and I can then, is that right or is that wrong, you know? Then you can know yourself, and that's the important thing. Not to say I'm right or I'm wrong, just to evaluate, where am I? What do I know? Where am I acting from? From an act of the mind, taking all the information that I need to survive? Or is it that knowing of truth? And that truth is what I am. You see, Pilate didn't understand that. It was not unknown to him. Jesus' insight was presenting to him, this is what you are. But it was unknown. And it's unknown to man. We are the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that a thing? Yes, it's an invisible, intelligence substance. Yeah. Invisible intelligence substance. That's what it is. And that's what I am. So epignosko is knowledge that this simulates, meaning assuming the appearance without the reality. And this is what Adam has done. He assumes I can make an image other than the image of God. And you see, man ends up living in vanity. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. A vanity is operating on empty. He hasn't got the substance. He's got the idea and says, I can make an image other than the image of God, but it's operating on empty. It's vanity, okay? So this is epignosko, I knowledge, but it's not the true. It's not the reality. This I simulates, but it pretends. It invents, and it's counterfeit. Jesus said you are of your father, and your father is a liar. What does he say?
Devil.
Yes, you are of your father, the devil, but he is the father of lies. That's it. Beautiful. Thank you. That's it. Never abode in the truth. This is a higher form, a higher than a self-preservation knowledge, and it's the knowledge that we use in our living and dying experience. Let me tell you about our living and dying experience. Okay. You know, we're here together to share, to grow in wisdom and in understanding. And I want to know what the truth is. I want to know what the reality is. And virtue is to know what disorder is. This is why we're talking about these things, or Pilate's reaction. Let's put it that way. This is why we're talking about Pilate's reaction, so that we can come to an understanding of what it is that man lives in the unreality, so that we can know what order, harmony, truth, life, love truly is. And you see it. When you see the disorder, you just say to yourself, ah, that's what it is. I won't do that again. Do you see what I'm saying? So virtue came to Jesus. Virtue went out of Jesus. Why? Because he knew what disorder is. Okay? So disorder is, let me tell you what it is. It's a moral contradiction within oneself. It's a moral contradiction within oneself. It's tyranny. We live in the battleground of tyranny. It's pleasure, desire, ambition, greed, envy, and fear. These cause disorder, and we live with those things every day. So we can't deny it. We can't say I'm spiritual, because I live with pleasure, desire, ambition, greed, envy, and fear every day. It's in the atmosphere. It's in our communities. It's in our countries. It's what we live with. Don't deny it. Don't find excuses for it. Just look at it. Understand what it is, and you will come into order. Don't blame others for it. I'm aware of it. I notice pleasure. I notice desire. I notice ambition and greed and envy. I notice that. So if I notice it, what I am aware of, I am aware with. What I see is what I be. You see, if I notice it, then I've got to say to myself, it's there. So I have to dismiss it. And I'm aware of it, you see. So don't blame others for it. This living that we live in, this living and dying experience, is the battlefield. It's disorderly, it's contradictory. We hate and we love and we hate and we love. We do both. That's the duality. We were talking yesterday about duality. It's partners in this world. So don't be afraid of it. Just look at it and see it working. And then you can bring it back into order, where that knowing comes from. Jesus expressed the word made flesh because he knew what it was, you see, and he expressed order and harmony and peace in the earth. So virtue, power comes out of knowing the structure of disorder. Order is where there is self-denial, where me has no importance. The ending of the me. When me has ended, truth is new. Die to everything that you know. And that's what the emptying of the cup is. Dying to everything that you know. You know, in the unconscious mind, you have your deepest feelings, and out of the heart comes what you will say. Those that in this living and dying experience, race, culture, family, motives and appetites. We don't consciously think of those things every day, but those are the things that are driving your experience. Race, culture, family, your motives, your appetites. You walk past something and I say to myself, oh, gee, that looks nice. I should eat that. That's an unconscious thought, and I just go like this and think, oh, yeah, that's yummy. You unconsciously act on those things that are in our unconscious mind. The conscious mind is our normal daily routine. When I was going to work, I would consciously be thinking about getting up, getting dressed, going to work, opening the surgery, phoning the patients, getting the things ready. So you're consciously planning your day, working out your day. It's also, you know, men who go to the office, they go to the office, they do the things that they have to do. It's your conscious routine. It's also, in the concordance, it's also had sex. There's a lot of sex on our conscious thinking. And not only that, it's presented to us as information constantly. So that sex is a conscious, we're conscious of it all the time. Because not only is it conscious in our own mind as our daily routine, it is presented as information to us all the time. It's also technological knowledge to earn a living. That is the conscious. That is why men get up in the morning. That is why women get up in the morning, to go to work to earn a living. That's what John says. I go to work to earn a living so I can pay the bills and feed you. Thank you. Thank you, darling. You know, this is our way of life, but it's disorder. I'm bringing it out so that virtue will come. Virtue comes from within. This disorder is the sense of morality. It's criticizing that picture of a lovely woman. It's judging it. It's a sense of morality that we live in every day. Do you know what? Trying to meditate in this mind is absolutely meaningless.
Yeah.
So you might as well look at it, see it for what it is, and then be still and know that it's just simply this world and its operation. And its operation is operating on empty. It's vanity. So, now, not sure why I put that out there, but let's keep going. So, epignosko, that is the epignosko, that information that pretends I'm something, that invents my life as I keep going. And it's not reality, it's the counterfeit. It's not reality. The reality is the knowing of truth that I am. You want to know why I got well? I was in a position when I went to Tony and Martha, healing, 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 healing. I got to a place because we were listening and we were talking about these things. We weren't talking about the body. We weren't talking about health. We were talking about the true nature of God. That was the very first revelation that I got. I came to understand that God, this God that I wanted to help me, does not know I'm sick. And that came through talking about it. But you see, in the talking about the true nature of God comes the sound mind. Wow. Do you see? It comes as a sound mind. And I did get to a place where I said, you know what? I came here so that I would get well, so that I could go home and be a mother to my children. But that became not even what I thought about anymore. It wasn't what I was looking to anymore. I didn't stay there for healing. It didn't matter anymore whether I lived or whether I died. So that in itself became a sound. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. That give gush effect of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is that sound mind? It's order. It's harmony. It's truth. What is truth, says Pilate? What are you talking about? Truth is what I am in a sound mind. Do you see? Truth is what I am in a sound mind. Do we ask ourselves, I don't know why I'm saying this, do we ask ourselves, what is my purpose here? What am I doing? What do I have to do here? What's my talent? I haven't got any. So why am I here? Do I ask myself that? I do. And I have to say to myself, my purpose is to go find someone that I can serve. That is what God did for me. God served the true nature as truth, as love, as the sound mind. So if I have to ask the question, what am I doing? Then I find someone. I find something. Even if it doesn't have to be money, it can be a smile. It can be a pat on the shoulder. It can be a sense of encouragement. You are doing well, you know. Go serve. That is the true nature of God, to go serve. Paul used to say to me in the surgery all the time, he used to say, I have a list for my ideal staff. And the very first on the list is whenever I ask them to do something, they say yes. Whenever I ask them to do something, he had a whole list, you know. Doctor comes first, patient comes next, all those things. They were his ideal staff. But the very first thing was, whenever I ask for something, they say yes. And so you die to yourself knowing that that's on his list, because he'll say to me, Kathy, stay with me after and we'll talk. And I'm thinking, oh, got to do this, tired, you know, early, all that sort of thing. So you're reasoning, but you die to that. I die to that. And I say yes. And that's what I find is automatic in me now. Even if John says, I need whatever, I say, yep, okay. Because it's become, I had to practice it to start with, believe me, it did not come naturally. Because the reasoning kicks in. No, what about me? It isn't fair. You know, you're not thinking about me. But that's what the nature of God is. God is not thinking about me. God is just expressing its nature as truth. And it's giving, giving, giving as a sound mind. And it becomes order, harmony, love, health becomes our life. A sound mind is our true life. Truth is our true life. Let's get to Ueda knowledge. I haven't even... So this is a higher, this epi-gnosko is a higher form of preservation knowledge. And we've talked about that. That's the living, dying experience. We don't have to go there anymore. From this point on, we're going from courage. No more guilt, anger, frustration, envy, hate, greed. No more of those lower energy levels that we live in this living and dying experience. We're starting with courage right now, and we're moving on to peace, glory, health, love, everything. Let's go. So Ueda is to see clearly. Ueda knowledge is that knowing of truth from within you that brings you a sound mind to see clearly. We said, I've got a daughter that ever since she was tiny little, she saw clearly. She knew what she needed to do. She knew what she wanted. She knew that she didn't want to do this subject and she wanted to do that subject. Whereas Michael, we told him that he had to do maths and he had to do physics and he had to do... No, you're not doing music. I tell you what, we learnt the hard way. It squashes their spirit when you become controlling about what they should or should. And we think we're doing the best for them. But actually we're squashing that Ueda, that, is it the left brain or the right brain, that thing that we saw, that talent, because we're withholding the freedom to be what you are. And I saw it over the next 12 months. I saw it squash his spirit. And he went to bed for 6 months. He did the physics. He obeyed. He did the maths, the higher maths, and he did all those. And he got through his HSC with very high marks. Got into uni to do the course he wanted. Did it for a few months and couldn't do it anymore. So, but Jenny was different. Jenny, from that high, knew exactly where she was going, what she was achieving, how she would do it, and her and I, she was the one that was constantly aware of what was right. I was the one that was the mother, and I teach you, and there was constant conflict. As she grew, it was a battleground. Oh. A battleground of wills. I'm the mother. I know best.
Oh, dear.
But she instinctively knew what was right. And I learned very slowly to say to myself, I will not fight with you anymore. I will guide you and give you advice, but I will not fight with you anymore. Over those years, we were battling. It was a battle. Even when she came out to see me at one stage when I was staying with Tony and Martha, she came out to check out where I was, who I was with, and whether she approved or not, and she was 10. I sent her home because I could not be in that place of peace. So I sent her home. Nicely, kindly.
Yeah.
But I did. I kicked her out. Do you remember? Yeah, it was interesting. But you see, we had that conflict until she was about, I'm taking a guess here, it was about 15. And she just became more agreeable because I had backed off. I was only advising. I was only guiding. Then when she turned 25, we became the best of friends. Now she is this woman that knows and loves God, and we talk about it all the time. I'm not sure why I'm saying that. What I'm saying is that seeing clearly, she had it when she was little, and I stifled it. I battled it because I was the mother. I knew that was my role, that was my personality, and that was the best thing I could do for her. But it was not real. It was the counterfeit. Do you see? So this Ueda knowledge is to see clearly. Having an immediate knowledge, this is how it works. This is differentiated from the act of the mind that we work in this world. The act of the mind is where we take the information, we put it in the content of our mind, and that attaches us to the physical plane. That's the act of the mind. This, to see clearly, this Ueda knowledge is having an immediate knowing acquired by intuition without reasoning. It comes flowing by intuition without reasoning, formed in the mind, formed because the mind is the avenue of awareness. It's an instrument that is used for the information. Now, when Adam separated himself, he began to use that mind to gain information. Yeah. And to fill that information, that content was gained information. And that keeps you bound to that information that comes from outside. This is a whole different sequence. This is to see clearly, having an immediate knowing, acquired by intuition without reasoning. Have you ever had that? I had it in meditation just before I came. And I under that about the sound mind, that is the latest news. It came in meditation because it came when I was just asking, how can I be the nature of God? How can I serve? What can I do of the nature of God to build, to plant, to enhance, to nourish? You know, here we are together sharing this privileged word of God. What can I do to be part of that building, you know? And then it comes, of a sound mind. And I'm like, what does that mean? So it developed. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what it came from within. I'm not saying it came from in here. I'm saying it came from within. It wasn't knowledge gained. And that's to be differentiated from that act of the mind. This knowing truth comes from an impression. It comes from inner tuition. It comes from inspiration. When I am in spirit, it flows. When I was talking yesterday about tricking my mind, getting in that little space between the words so that I can feel the stillness, I have to trick my mind and it becomes out-tricked because I get to that space where it's still. You see, so having an immediate knowledge acquired by intuition without reasoning, formed in the mind, formed in that instrument of God, that avenue of awareness, naturally and unconscious, not by anything that I can do. It happens naturally and unconsciously. It's heaven knowledge, and it's to see up, come up higher, come up to the mountain. It's to perceive that truth through that sound mind. I love that sound mind. It's to see the voice, that scripture. When he turned, he didn't hear anything, he saw the voice. That's what that sound mind is. Why? Because I know the truth. And the truth is the voice that makes you free, you see. So, our experience of knowing comes as we take courage to suspend that disbelief, just like you would if you go and sit and watch a movie. You suspend all your belief, all that doubt that you have, that can't be right, that can't be right. You suspend it just to be in that movie, to be entertained. And then you come out and you pick out all your beliefs and all your doubts. You just pick them up again and think you come back into reality. It's interesting, isn't it? So, Ueda is knowing. This knowing forming in the mind naturally and unconsciously without reason. This knowing is acquired by intuition. The mind's function is an avenue of awareness. This knowing comes to the mind by intuition. That's how it works. That's what the difference is. The difference is gnosko and epignosko is an act of the mind taking the appearance without the reality. Taking the appearance, judging the appearance, being handed the appearance, and I take it in, and it becomes part of my belief system. We're handed all that information. Don't take it. Don't receive it. Don't listen to it. John thinks I should read the paper, you know, and I go like this. Yep, sure. I have to, because I don't want to listen. It has been so beautiful here because there isn't that constant background of music or I'm talking about, you know, the Eagles and what other good bands. He loves that sort of music, and that's fine. Yeah, John loves that sort of thing. And I'm happy with that. That's fine. But here it's like still. All the time, without that constant information.
Yes, myself.
It's all right, that's fine.
Mike might not agree with that.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
That's just me.
I'm glad you're kidding.
It's
just me. Amen.
I'm so glad.
Hallelujah.
You're feeling no noise.
So, gnosko and epignosko. I don't know. Pardon?
Start, do that last bit again. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, I won't do that again. So, the mind functions as an avenue. That's its true function, as an avenue of awareness, having this knowledge coming to the mind by intuition. That is the difference. And now that we know the difference, all that information that we see, which you will get every minute of the day, but that is why it's so important to be still, to maintain this awareness that I know the difference. Even if it's a couple of times, one in the morning, one at night, just to maintain that understanding that I am the truth. All this everything outside of me is information. Even if it's what our children or our husbands or our family are behaving like, it's information. If you really looked at their motives and their intention, you would see that their behaviour doesn't express that. But I'm judging that behaving according to my own reasoning, you see. When you get to know someone, you know, oh yeah, I can see why you did that. But we haven't had the time nor the love to come to understand why people are in the attitudes and the states that they're in, you know. So the difference is gnosko and epignosko is an act of the mind, taking the appearance without the reality. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. He said it. It's in there. We've talked about it, but we haven't understood how it works. This is what seems to me to be this seminar. Coming to understand how it works, how that spirit, that action of life works, so that I can live it and maintain that awareness, you know? Take no thought for your life. Your Father knows what you have need of. It comes as immediate knowledge, unconsciously, naturally, and it flows as your life. It expresses as your life. As soon as you serve, you will find something serves you. Do you understand what I'm saying? As you begin, I use the word serve, but it's an expression of that nature. As soon as you, it's the sowing and reaping, I guess, understanding. As you serve the true nature of God, it, as you serve it to that that is outside of yourself, it serves you. It cannot help. And as you judge, that judgment judges you. It's not the person that judges you that you're judging. It's the judgment that you judge that judges you. And you feel bad. You feel guilty. You feel upset, you know. So take no thought for your life. Just get in between the words. Get in that still, the space between the words. I say to myself, all is space, is well, space. And I come back to the space. If I have a picture in my mind, all is well. It's a saying that I is part of me and I cannot get past it. I love it. Because it's not all is well in this realm. This realm is the living, dying experience. And it's all the gnosko and epignosko action. It's unreality. And all is well is not happening in that living and dying experience. But in that knowing of truth that I truly am, I know all is well. I am confident and assured. That is my relationship with God. Because it is all is well. But it is not in this behavior, in this understanding, in this gnosko and epignosko, in this living, dying experience, in this conscious mind where I go to work and I think about the office so that I can get the money to pay the bills. It's not all is well. It's that living, dying experience. All is well is my life. It's that inner tuition. So that I love the all is well, and I get myself in between the all is and the is well. I get myself in there and just allow myself to be still in there, you know. So the Father knows what you have need of. It comes naturally and unconsciously to the mind and is acquired by intuition. The woman at the well also is an illustration of living in the appearance and the material mind. I haven't got time to do that today. So, what Jesus said to them, the insight to Pilate and to the woman at the well, the insight that he presented to them was unknown to them. So, what I wanted to talk to you this morning about was to rediscover your true identity.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to talk, and I've got 5 minutes. Have I got 5 minutes?
Of course. Yes.
5 minutes.
So, this is what I want to talk to you about. That was all...
Background?
Yeah, background. Good girl. 20. Thank you. 20. Okie dokie. So, to rediscover our true identity, you know that word discover? We think that it's something that we act on outside of ourselves. I need to discover where I'm at. I need to read something that will help me discover who I am. I need to learn something. Discover is not that. Discover is to regard or treat in an attentive or kindly way. It's to treat yourself in a kindly way. Be kind. Do I want to be right or do I want to be kind? I heard that. Jenny said to me, walking along the Yarra River, we were walking, she said, "Mum, I just could have really got into an argument with Seb last night," she said. "But I said, I read in a book, do I want to be right or do I want to be kind?" And she said, "I didn't like it, but I chose to be kind." And that impression stayed with me. And I say it to myself now. Do I want to be right or do I... Sometimes, do you know that right? It just has a little bit of unction behind it. But I see it for what it is and I come back and I choose to be kind. So... Oh, dears, do I want to be right or do I want to be kind? So what we're dealing with here to rediscover is paying attention. It's not learning. It's not taking the information. It's paying attention to what comes to the mind as immediate knowledge, unconsciously and naturally. It's paying attention to that invisible intelligence that is constantly coming to you through intuition, through that inner tutor. Do I hear it? Do I want to be kind? Or do I want to be right? Usually I hear the right. But now I'm learning. I'm practicing to be kind to myself. Rediscover who you are in a kindly way. You see? It's actually to appear. It's a higher idea of who you truly are. It said two words, to loom up, which is to come into sight through the fog. That's what it is to rediscover our true identity. We have been in such fog of information.
Yeah.
And see, what happens now is as I pay attention in a kindly way to myself, I am that sight of who I truly am is appearing through the fog. You see? I like that. I thought that was good. So Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we think about expands. What we apprehend, what we take, becomes our action. Our beliefs become our action if our cup is full. If it's empty, you will hear that immediate knowledge naturally and unconsciously come to that frame of mind. And it's just learning to be kind to yourself, that I will sit and be still. You still go about your business. You still mother your children. You still go to work. You just don't think about sex so much. Oh, dear. Sorry.
Oh.
I can't believe I said that. Oh dear. So man lost his sense of being and henceforth has been on a journey to rediscover, for it to come into sight through the fog. you know. Know who he truly is. Know that true self that I am. That that is within you. So I'm just going to go to this scripture because I've got 10 minutes. Romans 8 verse 19. This is about the revealing of the Son that you are. And this is what I'll sum up on. For Romans 8 verse 19, for now if I read that out of here, you're going to say, yeah, I've heard that before, and I know that. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation, now listen to this, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. That gave me the impression God subjected humanity, creation to futility. That's how I always read it. Was subjected. He subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. I didn't really always understand it until I understood it. Romans 8 verse 19, the same scriptures. I'm reading the same scriptures. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. I love this version. This is my version. It's from the Concordance. It's not my version, okay? For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation, it says, creation was subjected to vanity. This is because his experience, he lost his immediate knowledge. It is not something that God did. Creation was subjected to vanity because Adam said, I can make an image other than the image of God. And that image that man lives in is the unreality. It's not the true identity. So what we're doing is revealing the sons of God. So creation was subjected to vanity, and it says man changed from an entire or a complete, man changed from a sound mind in touch with God and a complete state to a putrefied state and was subjected to vanity. Man now living in vanity, and vanity is running on empty. If you put petrol in your car, you're running on a substance that gives power. Man now is running on empty. Can't move, no power, can't go anywhere, can't do anything. All he can do is be right where he is and be putrefied, it says. With no idea of how to escape. No idea of how to escape. And was subjected to vanity. Living in those vain imaginations. Living in vanity. Vanity is empty prattling. It's to be, you know, all the talk, the papers, the information, the television, empty prattling. And that news, whether it's the stock market or a war or whatever, is the empty prattling. It's not the true. It's not the reality. Is it illusion? It's what we're living in this vanity. And you know, it's pretty painful. It's pretty painful. So come up higher. Come up and see. come up to the idea of God with that sound mind, right as you look at that wall or that empty newspaper, and you will see the reality. And you know what? As you serve that reality is served back to you. And those people that you serve, that wherever you go home, just be who you are, of sound mind. It will serve that community in peace and in joy, because generous spirit is the quality of God. This morning she comes up and she puts a hot pack, doesn't say too much, puts a hot pack over my shoulder and hands me a bowl of porridge. She did not know that I needed that. And I needed that, but I wasn't going to come down and get it because I was, you know, meditating. Here, it's a very generous spirit, you two. And it's a quality of God. It's a generous spirit. Now, as we take that home in our sound mind, you cannot help. You watch your life change. You watch that generous spirit, probably in a different way, but you watch it come back to you. That's how God is, ever flowing, ever giving, ever gushing with the action of life, ever having an effect. The flowers bloom, the earth is beautiful, it hangs on nothing, everything stays in its orbit. That's the effect of God. If there was no God, nothing. God is everything. It's everything. And as we see that through this sound mind, we serve that in our community, in our home, in our... Just say one thing. Do I want to be right? Do I want to be kind? Just serve that kindness. Just in a smile. So, creation, listen to this. Creation was substance to hear intelligently. That is our true unction. We're not meant to take information as an act of the mind. We are substance with that invisible intelligence to hear intelligently. Intelligently, you see, not without the power to choose. You have the power to choose, and this is the Adam man. I can make an image other than the image of I'll make an image that doesn't have to serve God. You see, that's I don't want to serve anyone. That's man. I want man to serve me. I want. That's our attitude. What about me? It isn't fair. Do you see? That's our attitude in this world. So, creation was not substance to have it handed to him. Creation was subject to bear fruit, to bring forth the bloom, to bring forth the vegetables, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is the action of life. We were substanced to hear. Do you know they hear? The rose bush hears intelligently. It has life flowing through the bush, and its response is roses. Do you see how it works? It's just an example. Creation was substance to hear intelligently, not without the power to choose. You can choose to walk through the fog and never and it be unknown to you, that insight that you truly are, but not without the power to choose, but in the hope, in the expectation. And don't forget what expectation is. It's that intuitive persuasion without proof. It's that earnest, it's intuitive persuasion. I know that I know that I know. this is true. I know it's intuitive. It's not something I need to convince myself of, that I know that I know that I know. It's the truth that is knowing, and it's persuading me all the time. And I come back to that place, you know. It's the having that immediate knowledge acquired by intuition without reasoning, formed in the mind naturally, unconsciously, in the hope that you would choose that instead of that act from without. Creation itself will also be delivered from corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation also, as we are of a sound mind, knowing I am that truth. As that comes through as a sound mind, I have given you a sound mind. Creation itself, everything around you, will also be delivered from that corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that is what it is that we're rediscovering. We're walking through the fog, and be kind to yourself. We're rediscovering our true, original, begotten of God. That is who we truly are. So, to put it into words, our true sense of being is simple. It's simple. This word is simple. If we just simply rely on that immediate knowledge coming to my mind, I will do everything right. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to be afraid anymore. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Having that immediate knowledge, the thoughts God thinks toward you. That's what that truth is. It's the thoughts God thinks toward you. Thoughts of peace without reasoning. It's the true sense, and it's formed in the mind naturally, unconsciously. Acquired by intuition, not anything that I can do. To me, it's a sense of belonging. That's my relationship in righteousness. It's a sense of belonging to that thing that works as my life through, not always, but through this sound mind. You see, that's the essence. It's the feeling of being the I that I am. I'm going to finish there. And I'm going to thank you all for being so patient with me. I got a little bit nervous, but that's okay.